Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as always, you know what I'm going to say? Yep, I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. I'm glad she's here, too. We haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks. We gave her last week off for the holidays, and I'm sure she's rested and relaxed, a little R&R, but I'm sure she missed me. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
I missed you desperately, Jim.
You did, didn't you?
Desperately.
Hey, Joan, a lot of things have happened since you were here last.
Just a few.
Had a few things happen. Saxby Chandless won the Georgia Senate. So that means that there's one more outstanding Senate race, right? And that's the one in Minnesota.
That's right. But even if the Democrats were to pick up that seat, and I have a feeling they're not going to, but even if they did, they can't make it to the magical 60.
So they've now have people with Bernie Sanders, and who's an independent, and Joe Lieberman, who's an independent,
yes,
who both caucus with the Democrats, meaning they basically count them as their votes.
Right.
They've got 58 right now. And the Republicans have 41, with one still in play, and that's the Norm. What's his name? Norm.
Coleman.
Norman Coleman
and
Al Franken. I swear I have to laugh. I want to chuckle every time I say Al Franken's name because he's a funny guy. I mean, the guy's he's a Saturday Night Live guy. I still love the bit where he says, "And I, Al Franken." Remember that little bit he did?
Yep,
I mean, I love the guy as a comedian, not so much as a politician.
Yeah.
and so anyway, he's going to be on. He's running. He's a serious candidate. I mean, I take my hat off to him. He's become a serious candidate, and he's fighting this recount, which is his right to do. There's a law there that says he gets to do this, and if I were him, I would do exactly what he's doing, and I certainly, you know, encourage him to do that. And so, but even if the Senate, even if Norman Coleman wins, that'll give the Republicans 42 and the Democrats 58, which will be too short of a supermajority, right?
That's right. And so, people wondered why President-elect Obama had cautioned Senate Democrats against kicking out Lieberman, and now you kind of see why, because they really do need him.
Oh yeah, no, they didn't. Their decision to leave him as the chairman of that committee. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Was it Homeland Security? Which one was it? I've forgotten.
I don't remember.
One of those. It was a pretty important committee. Their decision to leave him there was there was no benevolence there. There was no redemption in that decision, Joan.
No.
They weren't
trying to be nice guys.
There was no in that meeting, Kumbaya was not sung one time.
No.
And that was nothing more than a pragmatic Machiavellian decision that we can't lose this guy. And I got to believe Lieberman is just, I mean, I've seen him lately. He's grinning from ear to ear. He's never been in a more powerful position than he is right now.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And so, but here's the thing. Now, here's what we got to be careful about, Joan.
Oh, yeah?
If you're a Republican, you need to be careful, because they're only two votes away from a supermajority, a filibuster-proof Senate, right?
The Democrats are, yes.
The Democrats are. And of course, there are Democrats who often go over and side with the Republicans on many issues.
Well, sure, you're not assured of 58 votes by any means on many issues. That's true.
But yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you've got the two senators, Snow and what's her name, Collins from Maine. The two ladies from Maine can often be counted on to not stay on the reservation. They're Republicans. Vacillating Voinovich out of Ohio. That's what I call him.
And Ohio. I'm sorry, Ohio. Rhode Island.
No, Chafee's gone.
That's right.
Leapin' Lincoln is gone. See, I called him Leapin' Lincoln and Vasilatin' Voinovich from Ohio. Those two guys. But so Leapin' Lincoln's gone. Chafee still is gone. And Voinovich, though, still in Ohio.
Yeah.
So those three, the two from Maine and Voinovich, you know, you can't always count. The Republicans can't always count them. And I'll tell you what else. What's the guy from Pennsylvania?
Casey? No,
the other
Democrat.
One. The other one.
I don't remember.
Specter, Arlen Specter.
Oh, yes.
He can't always be counted on to stay on the reservation.
Right.
So here's the reason why we're taking a little time on this, folks. This is going to be the most interesting political year for governing, not for campaigning. We've already had the campaigning interesting
right.
year. Interesting times. But the next 2 years are going to be the most interesting political times, Joan, because there are a handful of people on both sides of the aisle who will become the most powerful in the Senate, in the
right.
Congress.
That's right.
Right? Over the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those issues that's going to hit right away, Joan, within 100 days, maybe within 100 hours of the inauguration and the swearing in of the new president is what you guys cover on the front page today of the Kiplinger Washington letter. Tell us about that.
Well, we're talking about labor bracing for huge job losses, but the political climate for unions is the best in years, given the fact that what we've just talked about the Democrats with a pretty strong hold on both Congress and the White House.
Yeah, they own the White House. They're soon to own the White House.
Yeah.
They own the Senate, lock, stock, and just about barrel.
Yeah, right.
I meant to say the House.
Right.
The Senate, they don't own it. They don't own it, lock, stock, and barrel, because they don't have the supermajority. They've got that 60-vote rule that to squash a filibuster. Otherwise, I mean, that's the only check and balance the Republicans have now is in the Senate.
And but if you're interested in knowing, I could guess that check isn't as strong as it might be, depending on how they decide to move tax and spending legislation, because they
right.
could move it under a process called reconciliation that does not require 60 votes.
Ooh.
It would only require 51.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How does that work? Hold on to that thought.
I'll let you wait. I want you to.
Yeah, you can do the research while we're on the break there, Joan. And now she already knows, folks. Just teasing. Joan and I will be back. This is fascinating stuff, folks. These are things that are going to be happening in front of your very eyes in about 3 to 4 months, and they're going to and some of them could change the way you live. I promise you, that's not hyperbole. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Stones bringing us back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with Kiplinger Editors. By the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, askjim.biz, that's the knowledge base, and my blog is jimsblog.biz. But let me give you a break. Let me help you out. If you'll just find smallbusinessadvocate.com, just go to the Big Daddy website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Then we've got a brand new one there. It's only about 30 days old. New look, and new technology and everything. You can link from there to Jim's blog. You can also link from there to Ask Jim. So just find the original one and then go to the others and use all those to your advantage. We built them just for you. And don't forget, by the way, when you get to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check it out. It comes every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. All right, Joan Pride, we were asking you, I asked you about, to explain to us what you meant. You were telling us, Joan, that even though the Democrats don't have a supermajority, there is a mechanism by which they can shove things down the Republicans' throats with only 51 votes.
Right. When they go through the budget process, they pass what is called the budget resolution, and they can decide what's going to go in the budget bill. and this is, I'm kind of short-circuiting a lot of this.
Right.
But the point is, if they decide, whatever they decide to put through that budget process known as reconciliation, the procedure is set up so that it cannot be filibustered, and so therefore only requires 51 votes. Now, the other side of that is they have to be careful what they put in there, because if you have something that isn't, I guess the way to put it is, germane to the budget process, a senator could still raise a point of order and say that item has to be stripped out. And I think it's called the Byrd Rule, actually, after Senator Robert Byrd.
Mm-hmm. Who may load the day that he introduced that now?
Well, and I'm sure he used it to great effect back when the Republicans controlled
the Senate. I'm sure he did.
But it may come back to haunt him now. So the Republicans aren't beaten yet, but they're going to have somebody there who knows, I hope for their sake, that Senator McConnell knows parliamentary procedure real well.
Right.
Because
right.
He's going to need it.
I don't think there's any grass under McConnell's feet. I don't think there's any. I think he's smarter than the average bear.
I think he's
going to represent the Republicans well there. But on this this budget process, isn't that's not something that happens that goes along all year though, right? That's just in the fall.
Well, no, it starts in the spring. And it usually, these days, it seems to take all year just because they're so
okay.
slow.
Okay, but don't they pass bills all during the year that aren't connected to the budget process?
Yes, but nothing is as important as that. And I guess I'm thinking, because my area is tax,
right.
If they want to pass a tax bill, the question
right.
each year is always, gee, do we do it under reconciliation or don't we? That's
right.
what they're talking about
right.
when they have that conversation.
And
if
I can
they
see
do a tax bill under reconciliation, it's going to be a lot easier to get through a lot of what the Democrats want and what the Republicans don't want.
See, I see the tax bill being connected to reconciliation, but the other bill, the one that's on the front page of your letter this week, the what's called the colloquial term is the card check bill, but it's also the actual name is the Employee Free Choice Act, which is a misnamed a bill. Because there isn't any free choice in the Employee Free Choice Act, but that bill, Joan, how would that be stuck into a reconciliation?
Well, right, you raise a good point. I was just talking more generally about
right.
How the Republicans, may have a little trouble
mm-hmm.
invoking filibusters in certain areas. But you're
but
right.
certain areas,
case,
like fiscal areas, especially
right.
taxes.
In this case,
and,
it's still important that they have that the Democrats don't have a 60 vote supermajority.
So in the issue of the back to the card check, the employee free, I'm putting the quotes here, folks, little air quotes, Employee Free Choice Act. That's my sarcasm too, in case you didn't notice it. I'm getting better at sarcasm, Joan. I'm typically not good at that, but I'm getting better at sarcasm. But anyway, my wife says I'm really good at it. I don't understand that. But anyway, the Employee Free Choice Act, folks, is this: if primarily it's driven by the unions. Because their numbers are shrinking, and they're trying to figure out ways to, and you've heard me say this before, I've explained this before, they're trying to figure out ways to grow their numbers. And so for in the history of America, we've always had secret ballots for virtually everything,
right.
including whether to organize, right, Joan?
Yes.
Whether to organize or a union. Well, the Employee Free Choice Act would actually take away, and Joan, this is not editorializing. The Employee Free Choice Act would remove the secret ballot from the organization process, wouldn't it?
That's how I would understand it, right?
Yeah. And so somebody could walk up to you, an organizer could walk up to you as an employee of that company, put a card in your hand and say, vote. And you'd have to vote right there in front of that person, whoever else was standing around. And they would take your vote back. And if over 50% said, we want to organize, that even if you didn't vote, over 50% said that they wanted to vote, they wanted
right.
the organization, then you'd have to be, the company would be pushed into mandatory arbitration.
Right.
To come up with some kind of a thing. And so, some kind of a contract. So, folks, this is, and this is editorial right here, folks. This is one of the worst things that could happen to small business. In my opinion, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It was one of the reasons why I opposed Senator Obama, President-elect Obama. This was one of the big issues that I was against. We're going to take a quick break. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Joan Price. Stay with us. He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. And Joan, just we were talking as we went to the break about this, the impact of the economy on the unions and the unions, what the union landscape, the organized labor landscape is going to look like. They've kind of got a mixed bag, don't they, Joan? The economy is not going to be good for unions, I think. But politically speaking, they're going to have a friend in the White House. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works, isn't it?
Right. I would think the economy would have to be terrible to unions. I mean, if you witness, for example, what's going on with GM and the concessions that the unions have voluntarily made.
Yeah.
Just to keep it going. So I think you're right. So it's kind of a two-edged sword that they do have a problem with the economy, but on the other hand, politically, they should be getting a little stronger.
Well, and folks, anybody listening to my show knows that I'm no endorser of unions. That's an understatement. But Joan, in my opinion, the unions, the UAW showed the union's hand recently when they stonewalled any kind of concessions until after 2 or 3 weeks. In other words, instead of going, why didn't the unions go with, why didn't they sit at the table? Well, they've always been so much involved. They're a large part of the reason why the big three are failing right now. Why wasn't Kettlemeyer, or whatever his name is, the UAW president, why wasn't he sitting at the desk with them saying, okay, here's what the unions are prepared to do to make sure that this thing works? And
right.
only after 2 or 3 weeks, and only after a lot of pressure, a lot of sunlight was shined on unions, have they now come back and said, okay, we'll make some concessions. And only recently, Joan, have they mentioned the job bank, abolishing the job bank, which you guys have reported on before. And
right.
We've talked about on the show, which, as you remember, is where I think it's just GM primarily, is paying people not to work because the unions won't let them lay them off.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, there were 8,000 or 10,000 people in that job bank.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. So anyway, the unions have got some tarnish on their hands, in my opinion, in all this. And it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But remember this, folks. In America, we have the secret ballot. And in my opinion, my editorial opinion, the Employee Free Choice Act taking away the private secret ballot is a mistake. Joan, let's move over and talk about what you guys call the recession. We now know, Joan, that the recession began in fourth quarter of 07.
So it's been going on for already a year now.
Yeah. Do you remember one of my predictions the first of the year?
No.
I said, we will not have a recession in 08 that began in 08.
Ooh.
If we have I wrote this, folks. If we have a recession in 08... we're already in it.
Mm.
It started in 07.
Yeah.
And you know what, Joan? Until about 2 weeks ago, I thought I was going to miss that one.
Really?
Well, I didn't know because I didn't, you know, I mean, I believed it back in December.
Right.
But anyway, so I don't think my other predictions are going to be so good this year, though. I think it's not going to be as good. So anyway, the government has been trying to do some things to help us out, but they haven't been exactly effective, have they?
Well, the problem is that we're saying would a $500 billion plus stimulus bill pull the economy out of recession? We say it'll help, but it's going to take a while, I think. That's
well,
the problem.
The thing is, though, Joan, look at all the things they've done, and we still don't have a big turnaround.
Right.
The stock market looks like a roller coaster.
Right.
Or a schizophrenic roller coaster, I should say. And, I mean, you know, it looks like it needs to be on some kind of medication or something.
Right.
So I don't see how another stimulus package is going to help, Joan.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially since that's not money that we have, is it?
No, right. We'd have to borrow it, sure.
Well, we'd have to print the money.
Right.
And borrow it, which is the same thing. So I heard somebody today make a really good comment. They said maybe we should be in, because they're predicting, you know, this can't be anything but inflationary ultimately, Joan. Borrowing all this money, printing all this money.
Oh, sure. Right.
So I heard somebody today say what we should be doing is investing in the company that makes the ink that the government prints money with.
There you go. I guess.
I'm looking for that stock in that indicator, folks, ladies and gentlemen. So I can, I'll let you know who that is, and we'll put some money in that. 20 till right back with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. There's The Who. That's Roger Daltrey on vocals. Pete Townsend on the guitar in the background there. What's that drummer's name? He's dead now, right? Keith Moon. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, JJ. Keith Moon. That's right. I forgot his name. I know. How could I forget that? He's no longer with us. He's gone to that great Bandstand in the Sky. 17 Tail. I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride. She's with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, isn't that a great song?
Oh, yeah.
I love the rock opera, Tommy.
Yep.
And the Pinball Wizard. Wow, that's Pete Townsend's a great, great guy. He wrote most of that stuff, too, by the way. I want to tell you about the website, folks, the Kiplinger folks have. It's outstanding, as you've heard me say before. It's really good stuff. I've been using it for a long time. And it's kiplinger.com. And, of course, you can subscribe to their publications like the Kiplinger Washington Letter, the 85-year-old publication that's still in the hands of the family, which they're a small business, really, and even though they're not tiny, they're a small business still, just like us, and which makes me proud of them. And then, of course, they have that's the weekly letter. Then they have the biweekly letter, the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, the tax letter. We love the tax letter. And Joan, I started getting the bio letter. The biofuels letter? Did you have them send that to me?
I wish I could take credit.
Oh, you should have, Joan. I got that. I liked it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, the biofuels letter. That's a biweekly thing. And then, of course, they got that magazine thing.
We've got that magazine thing. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And you got that phone number thing too.
We've got that phone number thing too. It's toll free, and it's 800-544-0155.
And you've got that discount thing.
The 30-day free trial. I believe we still have it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's they call that the blessing game thing.
Well, maybe you do, but yeah.
So check it out at Kiplinger.com, and everything they got's good stuff. So Joan, let's talk about the this recession. You know, I don't like to call it a recession, Joan, because everybody's not in a recession. I meet people all the time across America when I travel to speak, Joan, who tell me they're doing just fine. Now, are they concerned? Are they? I prefer to call this troubling times, because everybody, even if their business is good, they're troubled by what's going on. And I also call it this thing we're in right now.
This thing we're in.
Yeah, I don't call it a recession. I call it this thing we're in right now.
Okay.
Whatever, because it's different for everybody.
True.
So recession is such a negative term. It doesn't really serve anybody to use that term. But anyway, this thing we're in right now, though, Joan, is going to be – we've already been in it for a year, apparently, and it's going to be with us for a little while longer, isn't it?
Yeah. We're not getting out of this anytime soon, I'm afraid.
At least a couple of three more quarters.
Yeah.
We're looking at.
Well, don't you think we're really looking at through the entire year of 2009?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably, but now you guys point out that this whatever we're in right now thing is going to resemble the 81 through 82 recession, which actually those were two different recessions.
Yeah, but those were nasty.
They were nasty. But
yeah.
Joan, let's think about what was going on in those days. We had stagflation. Your favorite word.
Well, we were coming out of stagflation at that point, weren't we?
But only because Well, that's part of what caused us to go into the recession was paying for the stagflation. We had to pay for that. We had to fight that back. But
right.
Joan, we had the misery index. We had inflation at 9%, and we had unemployment
were 12-14%.
Yeah, and what prime rate, Joan? Prime rate was 21.5% at one time.
Wow.
21.5%.
How did small businesses get created back then?
A lot of them didn't make it.
Yeah.
So my point is, we don't have anything like that now.
Yeah.
This is not even like what we had then. Now there are some unprecedented things, Joan, and that's the credit issue. In those days, the credit markets were still functioning, and that's the one unprecedented thing about what we're going through right now, Joan. The credit markets are in pretty bad shape.
Okay.
Joan, do you remember a couple of three years ago, I predicted that technology was going to be the biggest enemy of the hospitality travel industry, not terrorism?
No.
You do too.
I don't remember anything.
I reported that because I believe that video conferencing was going to be the technology that would do that. And now, today, this week, Kiplinger has lurched uncontrollably to that fact. Tell the audience what you guys report about that. The video conferencing on page two.
Video conferencing.
Yeah.
We're saying it's booming. They're turning to virtual meetings. I'm actually surprised it took this long. I just think I think corporate culture holds it back. I think there's this idea people have to travel and meet face-to-face, but I don't see why people can't do more video conferencing. And maybe other people are now beginning to realize that because they don't want to spend that money on sending people to different locations.
These numbers I'm going to give you, folks, aren't scientific, but I'm going to use them as an example. If one meeting out of 10 is video now, where they used to be 10 out of 10 was travel, in 5 years, that will be a complete inversion.
Really?
I believe.
Wow.
I believe in 5 years, it'll be the inverting. We'll be meeting online, video conferencing 9 and going to 1. For one thing, Joan, there's no glamour in traveling in an airplane anymore.
Well, that's certainly true.
I mean,
but
you know,
that's been true for a long time.
It has been. But this is an interesting thing here, folks. The technology, it's like I said, I predicted this about 5 years ago, 6 years. Actually, Joan, right after 9-1-1. I started saying that. I've got the records to prove that, folks. It's Tintil. Joan Pride is our guest. We'll come back. We're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff, including taxes, after these messages. Stay with us.
Toward the source, spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force. So we stare into the emptiness.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining us. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, you guys report that mergers and acquisitions are going to be down in 09. They've been down in 08. And they've dropped, and in 08, they're going to drop in 09, and it's because of what we've been talking about, the credit markets, the tight credit market, and the volatility in the equity markets, right?
Right. You can't close the deals if you don't have the grease.
You know, Joan, though, I'm going to come back to what I've been saying.
Yeah.
A lot of people look around and say, okay, it's the housing prices, it's the, you know, the counterparties, it's all this sort of thing. And some of that's true. A lot of that's true. But I'm still saying the problem with our economy and the key to our coming out of this is not in the real estate that we live in or that we work in or the issues or the other things that we see in front of us. The problem is in the 5 inches of real estate between our ears.
Right.
We don't trust some of the institutions, and they don't trust each other, and we still have banks that won't free up the money that they've been given to the marketplace because they're concerned about and so everybody's holding on to theirs. So I see individuals doing this, holding on to theirs, and
right.
And until we feel that it's safe to go out and play again, I think that we're gonna, you know, that's gonna be the key. I think the fundamentals have been put in place to fix this. And until people feel it's safe to go out and play again, we're gonna be where we are.
That's
so
the problem, and it's gonna take a while.
So you know what Pogo said, right?
Oh, we've met the enemy, and
he is us. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Jonas, talk about energy. Super trees. You guys report super trees. And then you said, "Don't laugh. They're really
real."
What are these things?
Well, they're apparently ecologically friendly varieties of different trees, like pine, poplar, beech, and they eat 25% more carbon dioxide than the regular tree, which helps clean the air.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Super trees. Do they grow faster? Do we know that?
We don't say that, but you would think they would.
Well, there was when I was in Brazil, and they were working on a tree that grows faster than it was a softwood tree, like a pine tree.
Right.
It grows faster than the regular kind.
Well, we say they reach harvest-ready maturity faster, so I guess that just means they grow faster.
That's exactly right,
yeah.
which makes sense, because what is one of the part of the ingredients of the nutrition of a tree for photosynthesis is carbon dioxide.
Right. Right.
So if they're taking in more food, so to speak, doesn't that mean that they naturally would grow faster?
Makes sense.
See, my biology professors would be so
right.
proud of me.
Right.
Hey, Joan, let's talk about taxes.
Oh, gosh, yes. This is very important. Something called the standard mileage rate, which you, instead of keeping all those receipts, you can use for business driving. In 2009, it's going to be 55 cents. Now, that's a problem only because IRS raised it in the middle of 2008 to 58.5 cents. So you've got to reprogram all your systems and make sure you're back to 55 cents if you reimburse employees. It's very important.
Very important to pay you that. Joe, can you believe that we're $100 a barrel below where gas was or oil was?
I'm still in shock.
4 months ago?
Yeah.
Only because, and only for two reasons. A little bit of demand destruction.
Now, we're way off the Kiplinger letter right now.
I know. But they know this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say this, though, Joan. We're $100 below only because somebody said we might drill, and then they let the ban lapse. So if you want to blame anybody for the oil prices, folks, don't blame the oil companies. You can blame your government, because they're the ones who did this, almost 100%. Joan, let's move on and talk about food shortages. We got about 30 seconds. You guys say the global food crisis is deepening. What does that mean?
Right. It's getting worse. The whole problem with tight credit is really hurting farmers, and not just here, but especially in developing nations. It's harder for them to get whatever they need, fertilizer, seed, and everything else. So this is going, and we say the shock is really going to hit in the spring.
Well, and Joan, the thing is that a lot of the food that people are eating now was harvested with higher oil prices.
Well, that's true.
So it kind of makes me wonder if the prices won't be coming down next year. But
we say that all these problems are offsetting the falling price of oil. So
I know chicken manufacturers are going bankrupt right now because of the high price of food. So it's interesting. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.